Welcome, friends and adventurers, to Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. We are a 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons actual play weekly podcast. Joining me are the players. Tomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tehuman, Human Ranger.
Caleb.
My name's Caleb. I am a Warforged robot named Kaitoa Tata.
Braden.
I am Beleg Degar, level 1, half elf warlock.
Brandon.
I am Ikaruk Boonslay, blood hunter, half orc.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards. Armed with mostly improvised weaponry, the party of three engages in a bloody skirmish, and they are joined by a fourth, a half-elf, also escaping from the fortress in the forest. Emerging victorious, the party of four then make for the cover of the edge of the forest near the river, when suddenly they are rejoined by the man they had helped free from his cell, but not for long, as he is immediately felled by sharp-eyed archers, still in pursuit, horns calling out from the fortress behind them. With the forest now hiding your movements, you appear to have made it far from your pursuers. You have not heard a horn blast in some time. A crude path runs westward beneath the canopy of the leafless trees, along the ever-widening river. With no provisions and only the burlap sacks and rope around your waists, the party decides on their next course of action. Episode 3, Like a Glove.
Already, taken a piece of my burlap sack, cut it with a dagger, and I've basically just got a little container of food that I've just been picking off of trees and stuff.
I think what we should do is keep going down this river. Eventually we're going to hit this big city, but hopefully we're going to run into a smaller village before it.
Do you guys think we should
approach with caution, but
do you think we should see if maybe there's any sort of if we're in the forest, if there's any way we can construct or look for trees or logs to build a raft to go down the river?
I think within the distance we're traveling, I don't think we want to hang around long enough to build a raft. We have no tools to build a raft. I don't need to eat or sleep, so I just march day and night. I'm fine. I don't need
to
rest.
Caleb?
No, I don't float, but I don't need to breathe, so I can just walk underwater for... just like it was above land.
Well, can you walk with us on your shoulders?
I technically could. You could build a raft if it was deep enough. I'm 7 feet tall. So if the water was, say, 6.5, you could build a raft on my shoulders. And I could just walk as long as I could lift you guys and that wasn't a problem.
The raft would get us there significantly faster.
Robin said half a day.
4 hours.
Half a day, that's not bad. That's a short travel.
I bet you could make a raft somewhere between half an hour and an hour, depending on a good roll.
Okay. And just walking would be a 2-day walk, a 1.5-day walk, you said?
Yeah, it's a 1.25 to 1.5, on a nothing-goes-wrong basis.
So it was 1 o'clock in the bushes. What time is it now?
You're about 1:30. It's still middle of the afternoon.
We have the rest of the day to keep trekking or build a raft and travel at night. But
I think we should build a raft.
Yeah, I think raft's a good idea.
Or at least try to. Rob, you're going to make a roll?
Hold on. The decision here is to take a raft to the mouth of this river. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Half a day versus a day and a half.
So we would, if we built the raft, it's going to take half the day to build the raft, probably. It's
Robin said an hour.
I bet you a good 4 of you, as long as one of you succeeds on a difficulty check of 15, you'll build the raft in an hour. Yeah.
But half a day of travel, that puts us there like midnight.
Perfect. If there's any late. Danger, then okay. It's at night, man, and we don't get attacked.
So you guys better let's build a raft that's skookum enough to carry
there we go.
A like big ass rover.
I prefer being in the woods myself, but that's what I know. If you guys want to do a raft, that works for me.
Who knows what we're going to come across in a day and a half's worth of walk.
Yeah, that's true.
In the wild.
Yep.
As opposed to on the river where you can somewhat see what's coming on the shore banks, right? So I think the river gets us to the mouth of the river and the ocean within, you know, half a day where we can set up camp and go from there. That's my perspective. Okay.
Let's build a raft.
Okay, so everybody who's decided on a course of hastily constructed raft, if you just roll a d20 and add the modifier of your choice, as long as you can make it make sense, add a modifier. Like if you have any plus to survival, if you have any plus to building shit, if you can explain to me in colorful language how you're yanking trees down, and then roll a d20.
I rolled a 15. What kind of modifier do I want to...
The half-elf rolls a 15, and he's thinking, okay, Kaitoa.
I rolled a 16. I'm also going to do a wand of wisdom, because I do have, in order to heal myself, I have the Warforged toolkit.
It works for me, man. So you got a 15 plus 1?
Yes.
16? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my wisdom, which is plus 1.
So, and I've rolled a 6, but I'm going to use my athletics to gather the material to build the raft. So it'll be an 11.
You're running around, so plus 5. Okay, I like it. And so you three, I mean, really, in this case, you got one guy carrying all the branches. You got one guy lashing it together. You've used some of your rope from your burlap sacks to kind of lash things together. And you guys work really well together. You get this shit built.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe 3 feet by approximately 7 feet. So you can imagine that is extremely small. But it's going to be just enough. Steve doesn't weigh too much. Actually, where is Steve? Can everybody look over the shoulder and see where Steve is?
Are we doing a check?
And Steve is just coming out of the woods.
Steve.
Hey.
What were you up to,
Steve? You guys
made
the raft. That looks pretty good. Oh, I don't like making a lot of noise. Yeah, there's no one following us.
So do you guys want to do the raft downstream or down the river in the daylight or at night?
I'd be okay with a short rest.
I haven't taken a hit.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Steve, you're down like 2, right?
I think I lost 2 in that first fight.
Can anyone heal him or do we
see him?
Would you like to chill? And this is where we're actually, this is the talk of, like, who can heal right now.
This is the talk, guys.
who can heal right now?
Well, I'm just looking at my...
Yeah, Rook, what class are you? I just realized I don't know that.
We're down to, like, the A-team. Like, there's just no healer. We're just a bunch of dudes in a van kicking ass. We have no escape plan. Like, we need to go in full strength, be stealth, and win. And because we have no resting other than magical food, so all money needs to be put towards healing. Like, can anyone make a potion, or like, can anyone like?
It sounds like
I do have proficiencies in alchemy. I'm a blood hunter, right? So I use blood magic to.
Yeah, what's your class?
Blood Hunter.
That's a class?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So what are we doing, though? We got to rest. Like, we have to rest.
I'm fine for hit points. Game-wise, we've got one long rest that we can use to fill our hit points if we want.
Yeah. I think...
but we only have one
sense to travel and make it to the coast. By night?
Okay. I've got a fair amount left.
Tried to rest once we get there.
Much else
strategically,
we don't have even if you don't have spells. So.
Okay, yeah, I didn't cast spells yet, but.
Yeah, if you guys want to keep going, I'm totally down for keeping like.
Even if you don't have dark vision, we can suss out the situation and decide if we want to run on the other side.
No, I'm full. I was thinking about you guys resting, but also I wasn't thinking that we want to make it. We want to arrive at night. So yeah, let's roll with that.
Yeah. Great.
No time for breaks or recovering hit points. You guys jump on that raft. And
Tomo has been collecting food. I think we can like eat and snack on the way.
Tomo's collected some like gorp or something, and you guys are munching away on like bark and pine. It's not very good gorp, but it's a 4-hour, 12-mile river ride. During this river ride, the sun starts to set over the forest, and gradually you notice. The river is widening. Now it's a 25, and now it's an approximately 30-foot river. And everybody make a perception check.
Fuck. Waterfall. Fuck.
I crit failed.
Seven.
So seven for me.
The half-elf crit fail?
Yeah, I rolled that one.
Yeah. Kaitoa.
Seven.
Steve. So I am oblivious to playing a harmonica on this raft or some shit.
Waiting for like the echo. And it was just, that's fuck up.
Rook, what'd you get?
Seven.
Evo.
14. So Steve, you notice on the north bank of the river, way out, you know, about a mile out, a plume of smoke.
I'll I make a whistle and point at the towards the smoke.
So Steve, you've noticed smoke essentially where the river's carrying you, north bank, about a mile away, and it looks like, you know, as you're getting closer to it now, multiple rising smoke trails.
Looks like a settlement.
Can we
north
mile beach this is it? Is it? It's enough that if we beach our raft up against the north side of the shore.
If you're suggesting it, then Balag is into it. I have a soldier background, so I'm like all down for that tactical approach shit.
Yeah. Ruck is down.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're so your raft,
how far down the river are we?
Well, so you're about a mile. You're about a mile away. So you've covered, you know, 90% of your journey here. If you continued, you'd probably be what? 10, 15, 20 minutes on the raft. Yeah, or, you know, it's going to be a bit of a slog
foot,
and you'll have obviously a choice of approach.
And so what time of day are we at then?
So it's been about 3 hours. It's 5:15, 5:30. It's spring. This sky is darkening.
It's still a-
And you're starting to see shadows lengthen.
So... do we have an oar? Are we steering this boat?
Your raft has been just, you know, happily scooting down the river like a kid releases, you know, a paper boat. There was no need to paddle. And for the most part, I mean, this river ran a pretty swift course. Now, as I assume, to disembark, you guys are going to have to, I don't know how you guys are disembarking.
That's what I'm thinking. So as we approach our destination we want to be at, I get everyone towards the back right quarter. I assume we're unloading on the right hand side of the river.
Yep.
So I get everyone on the back right quarter to try and like weigh down and veer the boat in that direction. Put a bit of weight and slow down the boat and veer us right.
Ruck would be on the far edge since I weigh the second most next. Yeah.
I'll stick on the right side, the side we're turning to, and the shore side.
Yeah.
The shore side, and I'll stick I'll stick my stick in the water to try and create a little bit of tow there.
A drag,
yeah.
Yeah, and we're trying to, like, basically do this badass snowboard plow into a beach, like, and
I'm just keeping an eye out on the side of the river.
Okay. So you guys do that.
Perfect.
No rolls necessary.
We're on shore.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Like a glove.
Let's tie up the raft to make sure it's not going to float away on us and head on up.
You never know.
You guys going to store the raft somewhere?
Okay, we beach it.
Yep. It's beached. So you have landed. You are a little soggy. The dusk is approaching, and you have a town. I mean, you can definitely reach wherever the smoke is coming from. Somebody said looks like a settlement. Yeah, let's assume it's that. You can definitely reach that if you just continue along through the forest. You'll be there in 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
So I think I'm going to do a bit of a stealth move up to use my dark vision to see if I can get a better idea as to what this, where the smoke's coming from, and if it is a settlement.
With you. I've got dark vision as well. The halfers, yeah.
I look at Steve and I'm like, "What do you want to do right now? I'm useless.
I can't really see."
But if we build a fire, we're a little more noticeable. I don't need heat, any warmth. I'm good. I can't see anything.
But can you produce heat? How good of a big spoon are you?
No, I am. I have no heat. There's like, I generate my own warmth. I rub my own twigs together to generate heat, and that's about it.
So as we're, as we're getting ready to go, I look back at Katoa and Steve the human, and let them know that we're just going to go up for a little recon.
We see you both approach like a distant hill and look back, and
I give a shoulder shrug and a wink.
I give a nod of like, me and Steve will figure it out. So Steve, how are you for surviving the night without flame or a camp?
Before, I can do it again.
Yeah. Okay. Also, I want to be somewhere where I think, like, if anyone was to detect us, they'd see the boat, and I want to be in a place where I can see them see the boat. So if anyone's following us or sees us, they'll be looking at the boat, and we can see them before they even are aware of our presence.
We don't need this boat.
Yeah. Right? Actually, that's a great idea. We push the boat back in the water and keep it moving downriver.
You assholes.
You do that? You threw the raft back into the river?
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
90% of the move. I expect we could be able to get all the way to Gilagi using it.
This is not an ocean-faring raft, that's for sure.
Yeah. I look at Steve, I don't know what to do.
I push the raft into the river, because we don't need to do it anymore.
That actually moves that point of contact of where did we park. That's gone. They don't know where we landed, because that raft isn't sitting on a beach.
Go and find cover.
Off
in the Beleg, you guys are now into the woods, heading towards where you've seen the smoke.
Okay, so how far away are they going on recon? That's the other question. And you see the smoke.
So I can see the smoke, but I want to get to a vantage point where I can see if it is a settlement, what the lay of the land is, and what is causing the smoke.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys in front, Beleg and Rook, you walk very briskly. You're walking a 15-minute mile, and this is about a mile away. So you walk closer and closer to the tendrils of gray and white smoke that you see above the tree canopy, and as you come within visual range of the edge of the forest, you can see a walled settlement. This settlement looks to be not large at all. You know, it's maybe 600, 700 feet end to end. It seems to have a gate at the north, a gate and a bridge running over the very same little river you guys have been traveling down. And facing you, you know, essentially the part of this little fortified village that looks actually extremely fortified. For a small town, this thing is locked tighter than a drum. It looks like there's a bit of a castle or a large building. Outside the walls, you see a little bit of kind of farm and broken down wagon wheels on the two paths leading in.
There is farmland outside of the walls.
Correct. The farms are spread out in about a quarter mile around this little walled village.
Backing into the forest, though, like if we like we can take
the tree line. Towards you, yeah. Away from you, and like to the north are the farms.
So it's me and Belleg that can see this.
Correct.
Yeah. So I would look at Belleg and say, shall we head back to let the other two know what we see here, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go back there.
Okay. So we head back towards the construct and Steve.
Come all ye sailors and scallywags, and join the crew of Flintlocks and Fireballs, a D&D podcast following a band of privateers sailing the seas of Napoleonic Chalcinia. Catch us at flintlocksandfireballs.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. GMT, or on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook at Flintlocks and Fireballs, or Twitter on @FlintlocksDND. Fair seas and natural 20s.
No kraken, storm, or spell we fear, so come and sail with us, my dear.
So, Robin, we're on the, I guess, building side of the river?
You are on the building side of the river.
Yeah. Okay. Are you guys still out patrolling, or are you back at party?
We're heading back.
Okay, so you are heading back, and you have you've not been seen, you haven't been pursued. You make it back to the party.
So we get back to them and let them know what we've seen, which is you know, heavily fortified settlement with farmland outside, you know, a settlement that's not going to be easy to infiltrate.
Belleg is obviously intrigued by it, though, just from like gestures and body language. He wants to figure out how to get into this place and see what's inside it.
And so you guys, let's see, 15 minutes there, 15 minutes back, it's about 6 o'clock. You've now reached sort of a twilight, you know, environment.
Mm. I'm of two minds. It'd be fun to recon at night, but then it would also be nice to take a long rest and go together in the morning.
If we approach front gate because we're wearing collars, if we approach front gate, we're instantly known as slaves and fugitives. So
I don't know. We can turn our little sacks into stylish scarves.
Oh yeah, a burlap casual scarf. Just
the hippest
going shopping today.
Just a burlap.
It's breezy. I don't want to catch the vapors.
Yeah. I suggest we take the night and the day.
Are we now all at that point where those...
Seems like a pretty safe spot. So we're all at the recon point that we went to initially.
Sweet. Okay, you're at the recce point. Yeah. So you guys are starting to decide whether there's enough time to do a bit more recon or whether you want to save this for another day. You do notice the smoke rising from the village. has increased. It is definitely, you know, around the time where people are pulling their wagons in and they're shutting down. So is everybody at that forward observation point? You guys are all observing this fortified town?
Yeah.
Okay, so you now see a lot of activity around the gate that crosses the river, the one you can directly see. Looks like closing up time. Looks like people are shutting up and shutting the gates. You see one wagon come across that bridge.
What does that wagon look like?
It's a two-wheeled wagon, and it looks like just a mule, and maybe looks fallow or hay in the back.
Like, where on this road going into the gate?
It's on the bridge, and it's passing by those outside buildings, and now it's gone into the western gate.
Yeah.
And you hear the gates close, even from where you're at, you know, which is what, about 400, 500 feet away. You can hear the gates close. These are heavy timber gates. They're about 14 feet tall.
Yeah.
So are the walls of this town.
Is there any kind of heraldry or anything marking these walls?
There is not.
And on the corner of these walls, are these I guess outlook towers, or can I use my vision to see?
Yeah, sure. So you take an inspection closer at the turrets, and you can see that the four, well, at least the three that you can see from your vantage point around this main fortress or castle area, are definitely, they have arrow slits, and they could probably, you know, hold five or six men up there. All of the other nodes on the wall are simply, you know, unmanned ramparts and, sorry, observation points. They don't seem to be manned. And then the gate that you can certainly make out, you know, definitely has activity around it. Can't see anything, but we can assume, there's a guard hut there.
Hmm.
So the castle itself is definitely the strong part. The city wall or the village wall, it doesn't seem manned other than the gates. And there's those...
Is it scalable?
14 feet, very high, but you definitely have some buildings that on the outside of the wall abut the wall.
Mm. I wouldn't mind getting a vantage point.
So as you guys, look more, it sounds like, your curiosity, or at least, who is that, Beleg? What are you doing, Beleg? Are you moving away from the party?
That 14-foot wall intrigues me. I want to go. I invite Half Orc with me because he's got night vision as well, and he can come or he cannot. Up to him.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the to find out more about the whole fortress and if there's an opportunity to infiltrate the further here.
And you guys inch to the edge of the forest. The wall, which you're so curious about, is very smooth stone. That doesn't look like there's a lot of ways that you could scale it without a grappling hook or several, long lengths of rope. The buildings, however, they approach 8, 9, and 10 feet respectively, the little ones that crowd up against the gate area. And, there's definitely enough platforms that you could do a little platform jumper over the wall. A little concerning, though, because these are also close to the gate. And as you guys, are looking carefully at this town, you do see from the northern road a couple more caravans and carts coming into the town. So you see that road running north-south?
Mm-hmm.
I figure you guys, you have a view of that, and it looks like that gate is also closing up.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Right, Steve, so what do you want to do before these guys get too far ahead of us?
All is to get into this town, I assume.
I think so. We need a smith or someone intelligent who can take these collars off, because even though we've detected no magical component, they're still a threat. They still make us look like criminals. I don't want this collar on me.
This is Steve's worry. We just left a small little prison or whatever it is. This town may be allied with that prison.
Yeah.
So going in, if they are allied with them, it's doubtful we'll find friends.
So I would look at Belleg, and I mean, kind of where we're heading is on those two corners. From what we've seen, is well-manned towers, from what we can tell. So we should probably move to the south to follow that river towards kind of the
buildings
outside of the gate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we close enough to communicate right now?
Let's see, where are you? At 50, 60 feet, you could totally motion and hand signal.
Okay.
How about you are just at the perimeter of where these towers would totally see you, for sure.
I've got intimidation and deception proficiency and a soldier background, so I can use that plus my massive charisma modifier.
Okay. Here's the problem. We're all wearing burlap sacks with giant sewer grates on our necks. None of us look like a soldier.
So can we ditch the burlap sacks?
Yeah, you'd be naked.
And be naked?
Yeah.
I'm still like, I'm still for sneaking up to one of these towers just to get a lay of the land.
Towards one of the corner towers?
Where you and I were heading initially.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't, like, there's no way we're going to look less like criminals. There's no time we're going to look less like criminals than, like, at night when it's hard to see.
You guys could dash that 100 feet. I mean, you can dash that in, you know, what's that? You guys move 30 per 6 seconds. So 15 seconds. So, yes. I mean, you guys think that if you dashed exactly from where you are at the edge of the trees to the closest tower, you have a bit of that building cover there. It's a shack. I mean, it's like a cow shack. But you'd have to make a stealth check, and
yeah,
you could do it. You could definitely do it.
Yeah, I'm into that. Let's make a move there to see if we can. So
you're confident,
eh? I do a stealth towards.
Yeah, stealth check. Try and get to these buildings. Get onto the grate and have a proper look around at things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Rook and our friend Belleg, are you guys going to do a mad dash? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. And I just rolled a 17 plus 2 for stealth.
Nice, dude. Great rolls, everyone.
I got a 8 plus 2 for stealth, so 10.
So you actually want to be in the sort of inside shoulder or the armpit on the south of this tower.
Yeah.
So your two rolls, did you both clear 15?
No, I was at 10.
Uh-oh. Belleg, what did you get?
I got a 19.
Belleg, you sprint. Head down. No bobbing and weaving. You're like a missile. Rook, you're the same. Almost. Just as you get to the sort of cow shack, you trip over a cow patty. And you fall right on your face. As you get up, you think you might have heard.
Hey, who's out there?
How far are me and Steve from this?
So you are, I mean, you're literally 50 feet away from where they dashed out. And it seems like these guys, they're marching to the beat of their own drum.
Yeah.
They kind of just did this.
Yeah.
If I'm doing that, then I'm going to take cover into the shack there. And
Can you?
Yeah, can I? I guess.
Sure. I mean, you can either say you completed your run to the wall. You can take cover in the shack. You can try and make it all the way to where the half-elf went.
Well, I guess if that's the case, then I would look at using my athletics to roll from my cow patty slip there.
Saving throw?
Yeah.
What's your athletics? Plus?
Plus 5.
Okay, I'll give you a contest against my cow patty. Can you please roll a d20? We got 14.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Did you navigate past my cow patty trap?
No, I did
so
not.
So you think that you could have, you know, saved your fall, but you actually, yeah, you kind of slip and your momentum carries you right into the side of the wall. So you are now like a spider sort of pressed up against that tower and really hoping that not one, but two towers didn't see you. Boy, I hope two towers didn't see you. Steve and Kaitoa, you yep. saw this, you saw the dash. What do you do?
Oh, fuck. So they did all of this, and we just watched this happen.
Yeah, man, this it took whole, about like, 18 seconds.
To just run out, biff it, and react. Yeah.
Yep.
And
we apparently, the curious half-elf simply said, I really want to get a closer look. He nodded at the orc. They did it. Yep. And a cow patty slip later, and they're essentially pressed silently against the wall of this fortified village.
I'm going to shrug at the big guy and do the same. I don't want to split the party up. I'm going to go with them.
I would like to, before actually Steve sure. runs in, I hold him back. Did we see anyone get alerted? So I guess see if anyone were out, because we can see Brandon slipping cow shit.
Correct.
Yeah.
Roll a d20.
I got a 15.
Okay, the tower above where these two have just made their infiltration looks to be pretty dark. In fact, it doesn't really look like there's much activity. The north tower off to the northwest has a one point of light coming out from it. You don't hear anything, and visually, all you're looking at is a rapidly darkening sky and a fortified village that obscures almost everything other than the wall and the towers.
So no one saw that, right, guys?
Steve guns it as stealthily as possible in fashion as the other two.
I will follow right behind Steve. As soon as I watch Buddy Biff, I will follow right behind Steve.
Okay, so you guys are going to do the same stealth check. You are running the same 100-yard dash. Just going for it.
You guys stealth checking?
I don't know. What does my DM want?
roll a stealth check, and I got some guards here.
And am I, like, I'm still stealthy, right?
Correct. And what are we rolling, gentlemen?
I rolled my stealth. 16.
16. Okay.
Oh,
Kaitoa, does your lumbering mass make it?
What do I want to roll?
It's dark, and Steve the human is low to the ground.
I all I'm doing is perception. Okay. I'm trying to get to a safe point by not tripping and
you
making
feel your liability
noise.
Is more than you're going to fall. So you're going to use perception instead of stealth?
Yeah, I'm being detected no matter what.
I'm going to give you inspiration.
Yeah.
So you can roll two d20s and take the higher.
14 plus my perception. 3, 17.
Well, as hard as it is for this Warforged to match Steve's
gingerly
stealth and finesse, he does it, but in a totally different way. Instead of like the orc, you know, sliding into poo, instead of the half-elf, you know, kind of spider-like against the wall, instead of Steve, you know, almost like a ferret kind of shooting through the grass, Kaitoa, you walk slowly and steadily across this 100-foot expanse, and you make it. And you raise such little alarm and noise that you three have managed to regroup here, pressed against the walls.
Yeah.
And you've met up with Ekarook, the half-orc. The three of you can assume that Beleg, the half-elf who joined your party in a flurry of blood, is just around to the south of this manned Tyrell.
So I want to do an investigation check here to see if I can see any sort of I guess, like, back door escapes from the fortress into the forest for us to kind of work our way into the settlement.
Other than the gate to the south, it's a sheer wall. The collection of buildings that pile up against this fortified village near the gate, so what's that, you know, 150 feet south of your position, are kind of shanty-ish, multi-leveled. Can't really tell where one starts and the other ends. You see no way in other than over a wall or through a gate.
What's the height of the wall?
This sort of castle keep, they seem to be about 16 feet high, whereas the rest of the walls are 14 feet high.
Yeah. Don't.
I like the 14 foot high wall. That's what I want to go for.
Don't think. And there's no tunnels. Keep is like the best place for a bunch of criminals to start. As far as trying to get into this town.
So you think the keep could be a non-starter?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the keep is the last place we want to go straight to.
Yeah.
Is it, sure. There's no tunnels that go towards the river that we can see?
None that you can see from here.
From here, you know, I want to see if we can make contact or see where Belleg is there.
So as you creep around the edge of the tower, you see Belleg. He's almost invisible. He is tucked right up into the inward angle of that tower, and he looks pretty relieved to see you guys.
And stealthy as fuck.
Shall we go along the wall to these up to these buildings here?
Yeah, I'd like to go climb up the buildings, and I silently signal that.
Let's go up and over.
Up and over. Okay, sweet.
So there's, say, three or four buildings directly south of your position. There's the C-shaped building out on its own.
Yeah.
That's just like a wagon sort of lean-to. It's not a building with four walls. There's a triangular-shaped sort of dilapidated shanty. Then there's this rather large rectangular building. This one is the one that seems to be scalable. And the next one to the south provides a step that is totally within jumping reach of the top of the wall. As you look down and survey those, you notice there's a final wagon, a couple of them actually, coming into the gate. And it seems like there's a bit of a commotion. You hear the guard box open up with shouting, and it seems like somebody's late to the gate.
Okay, there's a commotion. Let's go.
Yeah. Run.
I follow.
Like, you guys are, I mean, you can make it to that rectangular building in a single move. Are you guys moving as a unit?
Yeah.
Dean recognizes that this may be a good time for us as there's commotion going on.
The construct picks up the rear, sees Steve, the human, moving quickly and the urgency of like a commotion. I catch up right away.
Okay, you guys have made it to the dilapidated shanty triangular building that sort of rolls its way up onto a more structurally sound rectangular building, and then it's a hop and a skip, and then probably somebody's going to have to make a jump check if you actually want to try and scale the wall. Who's leading the way?
Belleg tries to use his acrobatics to get up the 8-foot building.
Roll me a d20.
Are you? You're not going up the shanty building triangle.
No, I'm going up the.
He's only 8 feet. He thinks you can just fucking jump 8 feet. Do it.
That's 16.
Perfect. So you do one of those, not like a half Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Where you know you use a little foot, a little knee, a little arm, and you haul yourself up there.
Perfect.
I'm gonna jump.
Do the Jackie. Jump
up for my athletics. I'm gonna run and jump.
Roll up
it up to the top. So I rolled a 17. My athletics a plus 5, so 22.
So you you pretty much mimic what the half elf does, and you shimmy up, and you're on top of that building, staying low.
I Jackie onto the building using the larger wall as like the kick point.
Okay, you sidewall up this shit. You probably have some wild dex or something.
I've got acrobatics as well. So
roll it.
That is a 23.
Hey, no problem. Featherlight. I mean, just featherlight. You jump up there, and you land on your feet, cat-like.
Featherlight looks a little pissed off that he did so well.
A little resentful.
A little salty.
So I'm going to look at the other guys and then kneel down and hold my my hand down for the construct
you.
To come.
Thank
come.
You. And I look at you and I just like, okay, because I've been like watching all of you do this, being like the fat kid at fucking boot camp. Being like, I'm gonna botch this.
Just like, go right through the wall.
Can everyone, I like just signal at everyone, be like, like lift from the feet, like give me a help. I'm gonna botch this, and I need everyone along the wall. I need everyone with their arms ready to catch me, because if I'm gonna make this silent and stealthy,
kind of do a help action, I guess.
I need a help action.
Okay, so yeah. In this case, because you're not sacrificing any other role, Caleb, just roll with advantage.
Yeah. So 2d20, right?
So like in combat, it might be somebody actually giving up an action to help you. In this yeah. case,
yeah.
It's just you not falling and hopefully not making a commotion.
Oh. What's the modifier you want me to have? That's the key right now.
Anything that gets you over 10.
Oh. Okay. So no, do you think is it strength, agility, or dexterity? Is it athletics?
Do athletics. I mean, whatever will get you the highest.
Oh.
Do athletics, strength, or athletics.
Yeah. Okay. So 11.
Wow. So you guys have, you three who are up on this building, you know, you've actually sort of really hit your stride. You're kind of gelling as a group here. You made it up. And this robot here just hits the wall like a ton of bricks. And he's sort of, you know, his feet are flailing a bit. But you guys help him, and he caterpillars his way up the wall. It is
thank
loud.
God. Yeah.
But luckily,
as
you guys are reaching a sort of crescendo of getting your construct up an 8-foot wall, that commotion at the gate is equal in volume, and you guys are now...
thank you, DM!
I rolled.
Yeah, yeah. Still, that's awesome.
You have now really... Any of you could simply stand up and get to that next building. You know, you could probably even look over the wall without getting onto the next building. How tall are you, Rook?
6 feet and 5 inches.
Okay, so they're 14-foot walls. That's 8 feet. Yeah, no, actually, I guess all of you guys, anybody would need to jump up onto one more building if you guys want to see what's going on at the gate. If you want to take a peek... Over and beyond the walls.
I would delve up to the wall and try to... Well, I'd pull myself up using my athleticism and strength to get me up onto the wall. And while I'm crouching, from my vantage point, I'd use my dark vision to see what lays beyond us and if we have a clear path ahead.
Rook, as you hop up on that last sort of shanty building that gets you a vantage point over the wall, you see a town laid out before you. And this town, although it's small, looks to be bustling. Gates are just closed. Those wagons you saw coming in are working their way to the center of town. And for all intents and purposes, there looks to be a little micro economy here, albeit small. I mean, there really can't be more than 200-300 people living in this enclosure, including these farmers you've seen from the outside.
Hey guys, so I see that we've got a pretty good settlement here, probably about 200-300 people. Still, a lot of them are awake and active here. So we've got there's a market at the center of town, but if we head towards our immediate left, we'll get into more of a craftsman type area of town. Yeah. Which direction would you guys like to go?
A lot of craftsmen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sweet. I think we should go along this main street from the gate, blend in a little halfway through and cut across that street, make our way to the craftsman.
You don't want
to
get your behind. You don't want to get the neck brace off or whatever?
But that's the craftsman, right?
To your the craftsman left. Are all to the south too.
Yeah, to your immediate left. So if
oh, no way. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Sure enough, you know, as Ekaruk described, there's a bunch of clearings and a bunch of gathering places, and especially that center market and temple, it is just bustling. You can tell the craftsmen in the northeastern quarter, they look more like the wood rites. You can tell the craftsmen that are around the temple, they look like the smithies. They look like where you're going to find more of the blacksmiths and the forges in town. Mm. And then closest to you is a very dark residential clearing where there's not much going on. There is something happening at the gate, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But have you decided on what you're doing in this moment?
Can I see the temple from here?
You can.
If possible. But I...
You can see the temple.
Deity. Deity. The,
do you
the
have a religion or a knowledge or something you want to roll?
Not a great one, but I can certainly try, I guess. I guess, what is that? History or...
Religion? History? Religion? You're trying to see if you can gauge... what is this deity?
The same throw.
Whatever strongest. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I did like... Oh, yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah, same throw, basically. Yeah. Hey, we'll give that a shot. Get a 15.
You know the symbols that you see here. It's a symbol made up of three lines, and they intersect to form an asterisk. The symbol of the god Inandandro, the god of memory and souls, often associated with the forest and myths. Concerning memory and souls.
A god that would be on the good side, the benevolent side.
Is your character, is your character strongly aligned to any deities?
I would say that there's no strong alliance, being that is being an outlander. I don't think there was much time for that for him.
In as much as you can tell, this is one of those neutrally aligned gods, given that it has to deal with memory and consciousness, that isn't necessarily opposed to your ethos.
All right.
I the idea is that understanding places of respite and safety kind of sticks out to him. Generally good temples that are aligned with goodness and benevolence tend to help people who are out on their luck. That may be an option.
So this has caught Steve's eye. As you survey around, half orc, is there anything else that attracts your eye? And then same for both Kaitoa and Beleg, is there anything that attracts your eye?
The only thing that catches my eye is the craftsmen, you know, the smiths on the left or the south.
Okay, near the temple, behind the temple.
Behind the temple. Okay. So I'm more looking at making a, you know, stealth move officially over the wall into the dark residential area.
Your eyes are fixed on that sort of, you know, the darker, sickly brown smoke and the couple of flames that you see coming from that area behind the temple.
I've got the focus of freeing everybody from their neck brace.
Fancy that. We have the same focus.
I think, like, Kaito is a little torn between the two of... I don't want to be wearing a neck brace But also, I love the idea of let's see what this town is about and their morals before we decide how to act in this town. So I wanna go to the temple, but also at the same time, I just wanna get this neck brace off me.
I think, like, from an explanatory standpoint, Belleg is pretty down to just go down straight into that like smithy craftsman area, because he hates this thing on his neck, and he's also quite confident in his ability to intimidate and deceive and persuade.
As you four are surveying what could be, I guess you guys are theorizing what could be a path to getting these things off your necks. You do hear the commotion at the gate escalate. And you hear two or three raised voices.
We see from our vantage point what's going on.
You are, at this point now, you're too high and you are just unable to see what's going on. You could easily move, over and try and get a top-down view of the alleyway. You'd risk exposing yourself a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll stealth.
Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve goes up to the sort of the overlook on the gate, and he sees a halfling with a wagon who seems to be arguing with two guards at the gate. Something about closing time, and they do not, at the moment, seem to be letting him in. Looks like he's going to be turned around, and the gates are closing.
You've seen this, but we haven't.
Correct.
I guess, do we hop over while we still have this argument going on?
I'm gonna go over. Stealth move over.
We still have this.
I gesture to the guys, and I want to make a stealth move over the wall to officially get into town while we have this bit of cover, and we can help Katoa, get across while there's Mask somewhat of a commotion going on.
Yeah. Okay, how fast does Steve try and let us know? From a character standpoint, I'd be more inclined to also hop down on the other side of the wall, but just Steve's wanting to do it.
Like, let's get going kind of motion.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Steve gives you guys a little nod, and you guys are clear to jump that wall.
So me, I'm going to be an 8.
Okay. And then who is next?
I was going to hop over as well. I rolled a 15 plus my stealth for 20.
Shadow Lock. Steve. Okay, Belleg.
I rolled a this sweet, sweet 10.
So, Alpha Force stealth is not doing too well this time around. Okay. And Kato. Nope.
I'm going to say a 15 plus 1, which is myself.
Amazing. So, somehow. Yeah. You guys. So, the this half,
lumbering robot.
Yeah. So, essentially, the half elf and the half orc have lost their grace. They simultaneously, I guess maybe. The kinship and the brotherhood and the acrobatics, it's all been a lot. And they think, hey, let's both jump over this wall at the exact same time. They kind of get hung up on each other a little bit. And instead of the most graceful entrance, you guys just tumble over the wall onto the top roof of one of these little houses, it looks like. And Steve and the construct manage to quietly, carefully creep over without making any sort of noise.
Round peg, round hole, man.
Exactly.
Once in a while. Once in a while, it happens.
All four of you have made it over the wall. And now, immediately, from beneath your feet downstairs, you all hear banging. And that my friends, is where we're going to leave you tonight.
No way! I was...
Well done.
Alright, shit. Well, I guess we'll have to round back next Monday for this bad boy, eh?
Guys,
are we gonna try for weekly?
I'd love to.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it. Like, yeah, Monday night,
like 9 onwards always work for me.
Yeah.